There is a famous E.B. White quote that says, analyzing humor is like dissecting a frog. Few people are interested, and the frog dies. Well, Al Jeaney disagrees with that. He is a professor, he is a radio personality, and now he's the author of a new book called The Importance of Being Funny, Why We Need More Jokes in Our Lives. He has an informative take on jokes, joke telling, and the jokers who tell jokes. For Jeaney, humor is more than just foolish fun. He says it serves as a safety valve for dealing with reality that gives us the courage to endure that which we cannot understand or avoid. Again, the name of the book is The Importance of Being Funny, and we welcome Al Jeaney to the roundtable this morning. Al, thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
So what brought you to this thesis?
Well, you know, this book, I'm no longer the callow fellow anymore. I've been around for a while. I've been teaching for about 40 years. But this book started when I was a little boy. I had this wonderful person in my life, Uncle Joe. And every time I saw Uncle Joe until a week before he died, as he embraced me just before the kiss on the cheek, he would whisper in my ear, usually in Italian, "Did you hear the one about?" And then tell me a joke. And the jokes rarely repeated themselves, and as I got older, they got naughtier and more interesting to keep up with my appropriate age. But somewhere in my youth, I pushed back, and I said, "Uncle Joe, que cosa fai? What are you doing here? Why are you doing this to me? This is silly." And he says, "It's not silly, stupido. Listen to me. Jokes are a gift or a weapon we can use in life. If I didn't love you and didn't care about you, I wouldn't give you the gift of a joke. Laughter is important. Remember that, Alfredo." And I've never forgotten that, and I've tried to mirror that in my life, and I decided to sit down and write it.
Do you think we have gotten to a point, or perhaps were we always at this point, where that we were joke-deprived? Are we worse now than we were before as far as having humor and jokes in our lives?
Oh, no, I think there are more jokes than ever. I think we're in a golden age of comedy, thanks to social media, thanks to the computer, thanks to television, thanks to... Well, you know, any comic you can remember, it's there on YouTube, correct? And in a real sense, it all started professionally with Saturday Night Live 40-plus years ago, even though that's, you know, it brought comedy out again, satire out again, and created this whole cadre of comics. And certainly Jon Stewart, and you know, has created this whole tree of new comics that are, in fact, the major comics in our public life. So I think comedy is on the rise, and I think comedy is on the rise, not simply because of the facility of the machines that make it possible for all of us to turn on Netflix on a given night and watch 10 hours of comedy specials, because we want to laugh, we need to laugh, because life is confusing. Look at the headlines. No matter what your politics, no matter what your philosophical predilections about the world, you know, Korea detonates an atomic bomb. Mr. Trump is saying, you know, has a cowboy response to them. Houston is underwater. Florida is in trouble, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Our DACA kids are being sent home. How do we handle all that? I'm not sure it can be handled easily, but rather we need to laugh at it and with it. That is, laughter is not a cure. Laughter is not a penicillin, if you will. But laughter is this moment of perhaps temporary anesthesia or a moment of release so we could look at it in a different way.
Well, many have called it a defense mechanism, that even when we gallows humor, that is a way of us dealing with a horrid situation.
It is. I think humor is a sword and a shield to defend us against reality and to fight off reality. And I think, bottom line, it's not just foolish fun. I think humor allows us to poke fun at our limits, our frailties, our fears, you know. I think it allows us to deal with the absurdity in life, and for me, it allows us to deal with the unavoidable unanswerables. You know, the most common jokes are marriage, sex, illness, death, politics, you know, afterlife, et cetera, et cetera. Why? Because these aren't really unanswerable. They're fundamental to life. They're absolutely unavoidable in life, but everyone can't answer it correctly or easily. And so we need to laugh about it rather than to be destroyed by it.
We were talking that we're in a golden age right now, and I'm pleased to hear you say that. We're also at a time where the term, and I think it's been somewhat co-opt, but the term of politically correct and what that means.
Yeah.
But it certainly applies to humor. It applies to comedy. It applies to the jokes that we can and can't tell in our workplace and at our family dinner tables.
Oh, absolutely. I think we're talking about, you know, the tale, the teller, to whom it's being told, so on and so forth. I think that we all know the three rules of real estate. Location, location, location. And I think in humor, it's audience, audience, audience. Who are you telling the joke to, and how are you telling the joke? What I want to argue is we give our humorists, we give our satirists, we give our comics a huge cultural license to push the envelope. But there are always limits to that envelope. And you have to be very, very careful. Mr. Trump, again, no matter what your political predictions, is certainly a lightning rod for satire. His demeanor, his brand, the way he carries himself, et cetera, has drawn both the ire and the laughter of comics to him. But I think that, and I think it's all fair game. And I think Saturday Night Live is, you know, on the forefront of that. I think one of the Saturday Night Live players just won an Emmy Award for putting down his press secretary. But I think that Kathy Griffin went too far.
Yeah.
With the beheading, the holding the head. And I think that humor is never a passport to say anything you want any place. It's never appropriate. And the easiest example is you don't tell your mother sex jokes. You just don't, unless they're so elliptical that you can get away with it. You just don't. It's inappropriate. And the other danger in unethical jokes is they tend to perpetuate the unethic, the racism or the misogyny of the joke itself. And so we have to be very, very careful how we use jokes. I think jokes are, again, a sword and a shield, but they're also a weapon that can harm others.
When you think about the use of humor and as the title of the book suggests, the importance of being funny, is it for all of us? Are some of us just better at this than others?
Yeah, well, I mean, I found some truisms. First of all, in studying humor, not everything is funny. Not everyone gets a joke. If you have to diagram a joke, it's not a joke. There has to be certain cultural commonality for jokes to work. They don't translate. I'm not just talking about the language. I'm talking about the cultural parameters of that language. And that not everyone can tell jokes and create jokes. But most people can laugh at jokes because of such a large part. And in fact, some of the worst things we could ever say of a person is, she never laughed. She never got a joke. Not, she never told jokes. Not everyone tells jokes, and that's understandable. But I think that when someone can't laugh at a joke or a series of jokes, I don't mean a particular joke, not every joke is funny, I think that says something about them. Nietzsche, the famous philosopher, who, by the way, was not a funny guy at all, said, we have art in order to not die of the truth. And if you insert humor for art, I think that's my point. And I think most people need to insert something between reality and ourselves in order to deal with it better.
I respect any man plugging a humor book and quoting Nietzsche. Good job, Al.
Thanks. But I'll give you a better philosopher.
All right.
Mel Brooks.
Oh, well, there you go.
Who I've seen twice in this past year at 89 and then after his 90th birthday, perform for over an hour. And with every laugh from the audience, he had more energy. It was a beatific vision for me to see him give humor, give laughter, and then to be energized by that laughter. But he said, jokes are a defense against the universe. And he said, because he's Jewish background, he says, listen, I'm a Jew. I understand guilt. I understand worry. So I'm convinced, the Talmudic text suggests, that for every 10 people that God created, one had to be a comic. Otherwise, the lamentation would be unbearable. But I think it is a defense against the universe. We need to laugh at it. By the way, I think alcohol is the other way we escape reality. And I think humor is a much safer avenue.
Absolutely.
Perhaps a delicate balance of both, though, maybe the pure optimum situation.
Well, the Irish in me agrees with you completely. The name of the book is The Importance of Being Funny, Why We Need More Jokes in Our Lives. It is published by Rowan and Littlefield. Al Genie, thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on our program.
My pleasure, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book, The Importance of Being Funny. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.